Agape love is desiring and doing the very best for another person in the name of Jesus Christ. We have seen the various descriptions, a number of these, where Paul is reacting to weaknesses in the Corinthian church and showing how love will truly behave. As we consider our verse this morning, verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, there is a question as to whether or not this verse ought to be connected to that which has gone before, or it should be more connected to that which follows after. And that which follows after is the permanence of love. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And I'm going to suggest that verse 7 really ought to be connected more with the verses that follow. This permanence of love. Love never fails. And it doesn't fail, because it always endures before God, it always believes in God, and it always hopes in God, and it always perseveres before God. Notice particularly the emphasis of verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Jonathan Edwards says that in verse 7, Paul is switching away from his look at man and the various weaknesses of man, and now moves instead to focus on love looking to God, and hence the sense of it is enduring before God. It is believing everything that God has said. It is always believing. It is always hoping in God. And that is certainly how these words, faith, hope, and love, would be understood in verse 13. This may seem a little different to you. So I give you this quote from Hendrickson. The enduring character of love stands in contrast to the gifts of prophecies, tongues, knowledge, which are temporary and will eventually disappear. So you see what he is saying. Connect this verse more with that which follows than that which has gone before. And then from the Pillar New Testament commentary, just the highlighted, he is clearly also setting up the final part of his argument about the enduring nature of love versus the temporary nature of the spiritual gifts. Hendrickson goes on to say, this adjective of all things, of all, occurs four times in succession with four different verbs. It can be translated all things, but can also serve adverbially and signify as always. So the sense of verse 7 is that love always endures in the light of God. God can keep me, so I can endure. Love always believes in God, and that's going to help love to persevere. Love always hopes in God, and love always perseveres before God. There's something else going on in this verse. And it's something that I have been reading in my commentaries for more than 40 years. But I don't say much about it. It's this literary thing that is sometimes used by the Hebrews and certainly by the Greeks, where there's this, in a statement, there's an X thing going on. Where love always endures, always believes, always hopes, and always perseveres. And you see how the first and the fourth kind of go together. And there is a closer relationship then as well with the middle two. It's like the middle two are at the heart of the gospel. You've always got to believe, and you've always got to hope. You always got to have this certain expectation of future blessing. And if you'll do those two things in the center, then what's that going to help you to do? Well, it's going to help you to persevere, and it's going to help you to endure. I'm not sure where I am on the screen, which way I need to be leaning there. But here it is. Gospel hope is a certain expectation of future blessing from God based on the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Love always hopes. Here again, this has nothing to do with naive optimism. That sense that love believes all things. You've lied to me 49 times in the past 2 years, but this time I'm going to believe you. This is, love believes all things. That's often how it's taken. Love always hopes. You have beaten me 10 times in the past, but now I'm confident that the 11th time you won't. It's nothing to do with naive optimism. This is not about hoping for the best in those around us. It is about maintaining the hope set before us by the one to whom we have entrusted our lives and our futures, being powered by that eschatological hope. I left it in there. Eschatological is the study of last things. It's the last things. It's the future blessing. That eschatological hope for our future to take the risk of loving those around us in the presence. My confidence is not in you, but my confidence is in God. And I may have a miserable 70 years here, but that's okay because I have a certain expectation of future blessing. And that gives me the hope and the confidence to reach out to someone who has been a serial disappointment. How do we picture hope? Hope is illustrated as an anchor. But where is that anchor? Chapter 6. Two things, immutable, it's confirmed by an oath, and it's impossible for God to lie. Middle part of verse 18. To lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Where is our anchor? It's not down in the depths of the sea. Pastor Mitch, you've got a screwy picture here. You've got to go in there. You've got trees kind of on their side and almost upside down. There's a reason. Our anchor is in the heavens. It is there where our hope is. Our hope is in the temple of God in heaven, and we are tied to that. And hope is that certain expectation, and God is reeling us into heaven. Make sure you get all of your medicine. It's good. It tastes good. It will help you to persevere to the end. Roman number one, the distinctive focus of gospel hope. The distinctive focus of gospel hope. First of all, A, general hope is wishful thinking. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, I lend you a tool. And I hope that I will see it again. But that may be wishful thinking. It is not a certain expectation of future blessing that you're going to give it back. Acts 27, when the storm at sea and all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. 1 Corinthians 9:10, he who plows should plow in hope. I'm plowing and I've got this wishful thought that come October there's going to be a harvest. But you know, if there's a famine, I really can't bank on it. It's not certain that just because I work hard and plow and plant that there is going to be a harvest. For I do not wish to see you on the way now, but I hope, wishful thinking kind of hope, to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. There is no if with gospel hope. my anchor is there and God has got me tied to it and he's pulling me in. If the Lord permits. Therefore, I hope to send Timothy at once. As soon as I see how I'm going to do it, if this and this and this work out for me. That is general hope. It's wishful thinking. That's how we probably use hope. But there's another sense. B. Gospel hope is a certain expectation of future events. And I didn't give you all the heading. The last three words are revealed by God. And that's the key part of it, isn't it? I have this certain expectation of future blessing because God has said that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he comes again, this world is going to melt down. And there's going to be a new heavens, and there's going to be a new earth, and there's going to be all this wonderful stuff going on for eternity that is known as heaven. It's a certain expectation. Romans 8, we looked at it on the screen earlier. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There's suffering in the present age. The whole creation groans and labors. We ourselves groan within ourselves. Now, latter part of verse 23, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You see, what I'm in a sin-cursed world. There's a lot of miserable stuff, but I got an anchor there whereby God is reeling me in. So I'm eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. It's off in the future. It's not right here. I can't eat it and taste it yet, but I'm going to. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. I'm putting medicine in this, in our little tube spoon. And I'm doing it quickly, and I'm kind of throwing it at your face. But please, try to take it in. No, I'm praying that you will know what is the hope of his calling. If God has called you, there is a hope that goes along with it. If God has divinely summoned you into his presence, he's attach the chain of the anchor to you. Colossians 1 and verse 3. Listen to this one. We've got our triad, our triple twins, your faith in Jesus Christ, your love of all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Titus 1. In hope of eternal life. Do we only have wishful thinking of eternal life? No, we're not Roman Catholics. We believe in the full assurance of hope, the full assurance of faith, and that's what we want. Titus 2, we are looking for the blessed hope. And what is that blessed hope? Well, it's wrapped up with the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 11 and following. Titus 3 and verse 7. And if having been justified by his grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope of, it's more than wishful thinking. So, there are two questions. Is God going to bring believers to heaven? Yes. But there are two questions go with that. Do I believe it as my confession of faith? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is going to burst through the heavens? Do you believe that is a statement of faith? Yes, I do. But hope, that's belief. That's believing all things that God has revealed. Hope is slightly different. Hope is this. Does this belief in the glorious return of Christ comfort me? You see the difference? One, do I academically believe it? Here is my statement of faith that includes the glorious return of Jesus Christ and the renovation of the heavens and the earth. Sure. Get my pen out. I'm going to sign it. I believe all things. Love believes all things. Love always believes. But hope is different. Hope is when that statement of faith, I've said, I believe in the glorious return of Christ, and it is something I feel. That's wonderful. I am going to be released from the curse. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When Jesus Christ comes again, He's going to take those disembodied souls that have been glorified and are in heaven, and He's going to take up the little remnants, the particles that He's kept track of, and He's going to resurrect us so that we are body-soul entities. And there is no curse in one atom of us. When that impacts my inner, that is hope. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When He bursts through the clouds in that glorious appearing, I'm going to be the benefactor of that, and the grace of God is going to be revealed to me in wonderful ways. And I need to have a hope that fully rests on it. I need to lick all of the medicine. I need to take that little tube and tap it and get that pink, creamy stuff down to the spoon part where I can lick it off. I need to fully rests on the grace of God. Thirdly, see, Old Testament hints of gospel hope. Just very quickly, interesting, Paul in his defense before Agrippa, Acts 26 and verse 6, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. We think of gospel hope as primarily a New Testament hope, and it is, because it's more fully revealed. But he goes on to say, to this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Then Paul, before the Jews at Rome, Acts 28 and verse 20, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So there are these hints in the Old Testament. Hints. They're not as explicit, where we would have hope as a certain expectation of future blessing, where we've got the actual mention of hope as such. There are a few passages. But then you've got Psalm 23 and verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the chain is pulling me. I am not going to move the anchor of Jesus Christ out of heaven, but I am going to be moved towards that anchor. The Old Testament hopes. All right, Roman numeral 2, the divine ground and source of gospel hope. The divine ground and source. First of all, A, is hope merely a human emotion? Wishful thinking. Nice thing. It's nice that you're or into faith. Nice that you got something to believe in. Hope that works out well for you. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how you make the most of the medicine? You hear a verse like that and you say, oh, Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit. so that I may abound in hope by that powerful ministry of your Holy Spirit. Work through your word. Secondly, B, on what great redemptive events is our hope founded? 1 Peter 1 and verse 20. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. What's the starting point? Faith. What is the content of that faith? That God raised him from the dead and glorified him. And what is the result of that faith? So that your faith and your hope are in God. The anchor is there in heaven. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1. Paul's just, you know, it's just kind of his warm up to the epistle, right? This is little opening, nice things that you need to say in a greeting. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith. Jesus Christ, our hope. What's our anchor? It's Jesus in heaven. What is my hope? Well, it's Jesus, that he has been raised from the dead and he's been glorified, and that's going to happen to me. Thirdly, see, what persons of the Godhead are involved in our hope? Well, from that last verse, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, I guess Jesus is somewhat involved in our hope. But then, notice 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. God the Father, God the Son have given you hope. Romans 15 and verse 13. And now may the God of hope. You see how hope is different than wishful thinking? This is something that comes from the God of grace. And he gives us this certain expectation of future blessing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Which persons of the Godhead? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our hope. The Father gives us hope. The Father is the one that sends the Holy Spirit who causes us to abound in hope. Roman numeral 3. The fundamental connection, the fundamental conversion connection of gospel hope. You see, one of the things that Paul is underscoring for us here in 1 Corinthians 13 is that love is not just something that any old buddy can do. You have got to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. You have to have a new heart. You have to have God helping you, or you'll never be able to do what he's talking about here. Listen to verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. And if you don't have faith, you don't have agape love. And if you don't have a gospel hope, you don't have gospel love. The three go together. Love always endures in the light of God. Love always believes in God. Love always hopes in God. And love always perseveres before God. What is the tragic condition? This is a tragic condition of those outside of Jesus Christ. Well, they have no faith. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. What are the unbelievers? Well, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There is a pessimism that is in the world, and there is a pessimism that is of the world. There is a despair that is in the world and of the world. And here, Paul compares the hopelessness of the worldling to the believer who hath a hope in God. That was Ephesians 2 and verse 12, right? Back up in your mind to Ephesians 1 and verse 11. I'm praying for you that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? That you want your hope to grow? Then understand what the riches of glory are in our inheritance. And that's what I'm praying you'll understand. So Ephesians 2 and verse 12, without God, without hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. If you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, here is one more reason to believe in Christ. It is so that you may be able to love. You are without hope and without God. Christianity is not merely a pie-in-the-sky religion. There is some wonderful stuff that is coming to us at the Day of Judgment. And if we take seriously what is happening to the unbeliever who is being cast into the garbage heap of the moral universe, then what we get at that, it is pie in the sky. There is wonderful benefits that are coming to us. Being joined to Jesus will be of tremendous advantage to you and me in the Day of Judgment. But being joined to Jesus Christ will be of tremendous advantage to you in the here and now. Being a true Christian will change your life for the good. You may still have chronic illness and you may still have chronic pain 2 weeks after your conversion, 2 years after your conversion. But that which will change for the better, though my life may be marked by pain and misery for these 70 years, it's coming to an end. And when it comes to an end, there is this certain expectation of future blessing because God has revealed it. Secondly, B, what follows the new birth? Who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us, there's the birth, has begotten us again to a living hope. The grace behind it, His abundant mercy, the vital connection, you got the new birth. You've been born again to a living hope. Redemptive basis, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The future focus to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Thirdly, see, what follows our justification by faith alone? The four graces, 1 Corinthians 13:7, love, faith, hope, perseverance. Love always endures. Love always believes. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Those same four graces plus more are found in Romans 5 and verse 1. When you hear one of them, I can't show them on the screen now, but as you hear one of those four graces, love, faith, hope, love, perseverance, love, faith, hope, and perseverance, give a little amen when you hear it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do you want hope? You must be born again. You must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is truly God who came, born of the Virgin, died on the cross, then you know He was laid in the tomb and He was gloriously raised from the dead. And then these 40-some days later, he was gloriously ascending into heaven. And that same Jesus will come again. That's our hope. So in verse 2, how does faith connect to gospel hope? You believe first, and then you rejoice in hope. In verse 5, how does love impact gospel hope? Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. How exactly does love work? I don't know that. I'm glad that Romans 5 is ahead of us yet in our study in the book of Romans. But I can say this much today. Hope does not disappoint because of love. There is a connection. Fourthly, D. Can you have a true believer who has no gospel hope? Two more basic questions. Can you live out the biblical standard of agape love if you have not yet become a new creature in Christ Jesus? No. Well, I'm just going to start loving with an agape love. I'm just going to change myself. I mean, how hard can it be to love those who are around you? I'm just going to start doing it. Try it for a month. And then we'll talk about how easy it is. Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Then you also may do good who are accustomed to do evil. I want to be a loving man. I want to be a loving woman. I want to be a loving young man. I want to be an agape loving young woman. Well, good for you. I've been wanting you to believe for a long time. Now you want to believe too. Because if you want to be that loving individual, then you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ability to love is going to flow out. The ability to hope is going to flow out of that faith. Will every true Christian experience gospel hope? Is it the essence of salvation? Yes, almost. What is the norm of biblical Christianity? Well, a well-grounded assurance that I am in a state of grace. And what should we be expecting to find in our own lives and nurturing in our own lives as believers, as healthy Christians? Hope. A love that is always hoping. True believers will at times struggle with their assurance of salvation, and this will certainly impact their level of hope. Gospel hope is that certain expectation of future blessing from God based on His revealed word. However, the normal Christian experience of a true believer is that one knows that he or she is in a state of grace. And that means that as they believe, that which they have signed as their confession of faith sinks down into their heart and comforts them. Roman numeral 4. The mutual benefits. The mutual benefits from hope and love. What will it mean for me to have gospel hope? How will it practically impact my life? Well, first of all, agape love promotes gospel hope. Love always does faith, always does hope. It always does perseverance. Love always endures. Love always believes in God. Love always hopes in God. Love always perseveres before God. Hope is not going to disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Love always hopes in God. Love is going to promote a Christian optimism. Love always hopes. Think of the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. She smiles at the future. That's a part of being a Christian. My future is in the Lord's hands. And when it comes to the question, I've got a few individuals around me that qualify as a serial disappointment. It disappointed me over and over again. Why bother trying to love them? You wrestle with that question sometimes. Why bother? How do I know that this particular venture of a self-denying love is going to work out? Well, I don't. I don't know. But I know that my whole life is going to work out. And my whole life, because of the grace of God, is going to work out very, very well for me. And because of that, I can give my energy to someone who may be a serial disappointment. Am I naively to hope in the goodness of man? Am I naively to hope all things in the sense that I hope that this man who has brutally beaten me 10 times, I hope that he's not going to abusively beat me the 11th time? No, that's not what hope is. That's not what love is. Love is hoping in God and knowing that God is going to have a very, very, very good end to my life, and that gives me the optimism and it gives me a place to stand. I'm going to be all right for eternity. I may have it rough for 50 or for 70 years here, but then I'm going to be wonderfully blessed for all eternity. What does this do for me? Knowing that gives me a place for me to stand, a place for my feet to be firmly based. And it's not that my life is just one miserable thing of pain or difficulty after another, and that's what all of my eternity is going to be. I've got hope now. And I've got a place to stand. I've got a place to stand so that I can be involved in gospel love to those who are around me. Grace is going to work out very well for me. Maybe God will use me to have His grace to work out very well for someone around me. I have no direct revelation that this particular ministry of self-denying love is going to bear any fruit. I've got no guarantee that this one is. But I've got an anchor. And I feel the tension. I feel the pressure. God is pulling me in. So nonetheless, in the midst of difficulty, I can live my life out in Christian optimism, just like my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not putting us on the same, we understand that. But in the same way that for Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, you and I, having Jesus as our hope, as the anchor for our soul, and being pulled into heaven, then we can reach out in kindness and show love to those around us. Love always hopes in God. Love promotes gospel hope. Secondly, B. Gospel hope promotes a perseverance which benefits agape love. Pastor Mister, are you sure you want to go into perseverance? Isn't that the next message? Maybe that should wait. Well, maybe it should. But see the connection. We've had it in a few of our passages. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. If I've got a certain expectation of future blessing, that gives me the strength to persevere. Matthew 24 reads, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures, he who perseveres," same word, "he who perseveres to the end shall be saved." And who's going to be able to persevere to the end? Those who have gospel hope. Hope leads me to eagerly anticipate it in perseverance. 1 Thessalonians 1, another triad of faith, hope, and love. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and the perseverance of hope. Your faith works, your love labors, and your hope perseveres." Hebrews 10. In a context where the Hebrew Christians are tempted to leave Christ, they are tempted to leave the simplicity of New Covenant worship based on the New Testament and go back to the elaborate ritual of the Mosaic economy of the Old Testament. But in doing that, they're really apostatizing from Jesus Christ. And what are they being told? You need to hang on. You need to persevere. And listen to this. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." Hope is going to make me to persevere. But I need to persevere in hanging on to my hope. What do I need to hang on to? The confession of our hope without wavering. Gospel hope promotes perseverance, and here perseverance is going to promote my certain expectation of future blessing without wavering. Faith, hope, and love, they're all in the bowl together. And they all mutually stir up one another. The more that I hope, then the more that I will persevere. And the more that I hope always and persevere always, then the more I will be able to love always. Love always endures in light of God. Love always believes in God. Love always hopes in God. And love always perseveres before God. And that's why or how love never fails. Love needs to be in your life from the moment of your conversion until the moment you die or you go to heaven with the return of Christ. Love needs to be a permanent feature in your life, and love needs to be a permanent feature from the first Christians in the first century all the way to the end of the age. Love is permanent. Love never fails. Never fails in your and my individual life, and never fails for the whole season of this age. May God help us. May God help us to lick in the medicine and take it all in. It tastes good, and it does good for your soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the grace that starts the process of conversion, the grace that leads into us being born again to a living hope. Help us to see that this grace of hope is not some nice and optional decoration of grace. But help us to see how essential it is that our certain expectation of future blessing is going to soak down into us and going to help us to persevere to the end. We pray that for any who are outside of Christ, that you would cause them concern as they take seriously that they cannot do agape love with a natural heart. They need to be converted. They need new life in Christ. And we pray, our God, that you would help us to know more and more of a love that endures and believes and hopes and perseveres. We pray it in Christ's mighty name. Amen.